Nice to be back. And we're working out of Acts chapter 5 this morning, beginning at verse 17. We're continuing our studies in the book of Acts. So we're going to begin our reading at verse 17. May I just say a word about tonight? On Sunday nights, for a while, I'm going to be speaking on doctrine. And I'm going to be speaking on the doctrines of salvation. And tonight, I'm going to have a handout, and I'm going to give an overall view, and I'm calling it Viewing the Whole Picture of Salvation from beginning to end, and dealing with it, why it has to be by grace, why it has to be by faith, etc. So much for tonight. We're beginning our reading at verse 17 of Acts chapter 5. Then, the then is a time element in the message of Dr. Luke as he records the history, and it has reference to the blessing of the Lord going forth of the previous verses, which we dealt with 3 weeks ago. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with them, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they found them not in the prison. They returned and told, saying, The prison truly we found shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom we put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when he had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming and asking you to bless the words that are going to be multiplied upon the sacred text. Therefore, we need the help that comes from heaven. Grant it today that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart will be acceptable in thy sight for Jesus' honor and glory. Amen. The early believers, as you notice from the scripture reading this morning, they were spiritual successes. For the scripture says, ye have filled Jerusalem with this doctrine. Today, we hear much about revival, don't we? We hear the things that are needed to have revival. We are taught about the causes of revival. We're told about the ways and the means of revival. And we're even told about hindrances to revival, but the only thing that we don't have is revival. We don't have it. And one of the reasons we don't have it, we are afraid of extremism. We want extremism, and we have the extremism today of impotence. And that's what marks the church today. We are so afraid of getting out on a limb that we're afraid to climb the tree. That is the church in our day. Now, the early believers were men of courage because they were men of conviction. When you're a person of conviction, you become a person of courage. And their conviction is very clear. They weren't afraid to tell the council and the rulers, we ought to obey God rather than man. Or to find people today who are willing to obey God rather than man. You see, the early apostles were not looking for the safe thing to do. They were looking for the right thing to do. And there's a difference. There's a big difference between the safe thing to do and the right thing to do. Just because something is legal doesn't mean it's spiritual. And it doesn't mean it's right. And you and I, who claim to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it is our bounden duty to do that which is right, not necessarily that which is safe. The early believers had a conviction that what they were doing was under the direction of God. Now, the first thing you notice in this text is the Christians were arrested. But first of all, they were arrested by God. You see, they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. In other words, the one who had arrested them is the one who saved them. And the one who saved them is the one whom they obeyed. We ought to obey God rather than man. I would like to ask you a question this morning. Does that mean that you're bound with a ball and chain? Is obeying God a ball and chain that hangs to your leg and keeps you just from moving? No, it is not. Never. The early church sang of the liberty that they had, and they enjoyed that liberty because of their obedience to Jesus Christ. We have God caricatured today in such a way that what God says is going to bring you into bondage, and the very opposite is true. When the word of God is obeyed, it never brings us into bondage. It brings us into liberty. How do I know? Verse 14 that we didn't read, we read it the last time. It said, great multitudes were added to the church. They had revival. And the reason they had revival, there was obedience to God. And not only obedience, but the joy that comes with obedience. But now also, they were arrested by the Sadducees. The Sadducees. You have that in verses 17 and 18. You have it in verses 26 through 28. Now, who were the Sadducees? the Sadducees were the liberals of their day. Now, it's a blessing to be a liberal. Now, that may sound strange. It is a blessing to be a liberal, to be able, friends, to rejoice in all that is taught and examine it, and when convicted of it, obey it. That's to be a liberal. We have been set at liberty, and we rejoice in all that God has said. It's a blessed thing to be a liberal. But it's bad, friends, when we are liberal with anything and with everything but the truth. When we are liberal with everything and anything but the truth. Let me give you an example. Evolution, as taught in our high schools today, is not taught as a one theory among many concerning origins. It is presented as fact. You see, creationism, on the other hand, if it's even suggested as an alternative, why there you are, a person is laughed at by the so-called intellectuals of our day. The thought of creationism today is killed with scorn and contempt by those whose views are, quote, liberal. It's a sad thing when we are liberal with anything and with everything but the truth. It is possible for a man to be liberal and tolerant in many areas except the truth. All that Christianity asks for, friends, is a hearing. You see, Christianity can demonstrate its truthfulness on the principles of fact. That's where Christianity can demonstrate its truthfulness. But you see, men rebel against the truth for two reasons. And the two reasons are, man became a sinner in Adam. And number two is, the truth of God condemns them. Here are the two reasons lying at the heart of man's problem. Number one, he's a sinner because of Adam's sin. And number two, the Word of God condemns him. Now, it's interesting when you read this passage, and you see they had a meeting scheduled for the next morning. They had the apostles in prison. And everybody was present for the meeting but the prisoners. Did you ever, I don't know if you enjoy this like I do, but I really enjoy this portion. Everybody was present but the prisoners. You see, God had opened the door, and he let the prisoners out. He sent an angel. He sent an angel. Now my question is, why didn't he send an earthquake? There was an earthquake at Philippi when Paul and Silas were in, but he sent an angel. Now why did he send an angel? You see, God knows what every person believes. God knows exactly what you believe in every detail of that belief. He knows it through and through. Now he knew what the Sadducees believed. See, when you read Acts chapter 23, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in angels. You see? And God knew the Sadducees didn't believe in angels. So he sent one. God has a great sense of humor, friends. He has a great sense of humor. God created Red Seas for pharaohs. God arranges Esther's for Haman. And he arranges angels for Sadducees. God has a great sense of humor. Never forget that. And God knows what you believe. And therefore, when you read the 139th Psalm or the 10th chapter of the Romans or another portion where it says, whither shall I flee from his presence? I can never get out from under the eye of God. I can never hide from God. I'm going to be exposed sooner or later. And the better it will be if you are exposed sooner. For the sooner we are exposed to God and we acknowledge our sins and cry out in repentance and faith, the sooner the better, for then we experience the blessedness and that marvelous grace that we sang about. Now, the angels had a message for the apostles, and I want to impress this upon you. Verse 20, look at it. Verse 20 says in Acts chapter 5, and notice it says, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. You know, it's not the duty of angels to preach. It's the duty of men who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Now, the angels could have done a better job than the apostles. But God does not violate His word. He commissioned His people to proclaim the gospel. Angels will not do it. And His message was go. And that word go is a message of urgency. It is necessary. Go. It suggests urgency. The preaching of the word of God. Oh, that we could take this message of the angels to heart. Oh, I know we sing that song or we hear it once in a while as a solo concerning their singing up in heaven such as we have never heard. Where the angels sing the praises of the Lamb upon the throne. But then we add, but when we sing salvation's story, they shall fold their wings. For angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings. And you and I are commanded by the Lord to go. And this is a message of the angel. Go. But more than that, he says, speak. Speak what? All the words of this life. Christianity, friends, is not a doctrine. It's a life. It is a life. It is a vital relationship to our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a vital relationship that transforms the whole being of the person who is born again. Go. Speak all the words of this life. And when you think of this life, it is the life of Jesus Christ. Or Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, that's where it's lived. I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's how it's lived. Who loved me and gave himself for me. That's why it's lived. All the words of this life. When we think of this life, it is concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, his deity and his humanity. You know, when we think of that in relation to church history, his deity and his humanity, when someone went into the tabernacle of old in the Old Testament, and they were within the holy place, they looked ahead and there was a veil. And Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that the veil stood for the flesh of Christ. The veil stood for the flesh of Christ. And that veil was made out of two things. Linen and gold. The gold was not the linen, and the linen was not the gold. They were woven beautifully, the one into the other. And when we look at our Lord Jesus Christ, we see the humanity of Christ and the deity of Christ woven beautifully. He was a man. There's one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. The linen. But he's also God, very God, very God. He's pure gold.
his deity.
But it's one piece. And our blessed Lord is God and man. And I'm so thankful. Because of who he is as God, he knows all the righteous and holy demands of God's throne. As man, he knows my needs. And he's able to meet both. And in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, I have a Savior who is man, who can meet my need, who is God, who knows the righteous claims of the throne of God. And there's perfect peace. Go speak all the words of this life, the deity of Christ, the humanity of Christ, the offices of Christ. He is a prophet. He is priest. He is king. He's a prophet who speaks for God. He is priest who atones for sin. He is king who reigns and governs his people. He is prophet. He is priest. He is king. Speak all the words of this life. Speak of his death. Why he died. Speak of his resurrection. God has highly exalted him. He has raised him from the dead. Speak of his coming, for that same Jesus is coming again. Did you ever notice that in the message of the angel, there is no mention whatsoever of social action? The church today is so involved, and I'm not saying it's wrong, by the way, in social activity that we have forgotten our message. The message is forgotten, and the message is most important. He didn't say, go and do this and that. He said, go, stand, speak in the temple all the words of this life. Oh, what a message. This is a message, friends, that brings revival. This is what brings revival. It is a message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what were the results? What were the results? Peter speaks right off when they are told that they cannot. He said, you'll fill Jerusalem with this doctrine. And when you get to verse 29, we see the results. Peter and the other disciples, they answer, we ought to obey God rather than man. And then he turns and he preaches a memorable message. He says to them, you have humiliated your Messiah. You crucified him. You hanged him on a tree. But I want you to know something. Salvation, forgiveness, repentance is given. It's available. Did you notice that? Verse 31, him hath God exalted to his right hand to be a prince and a savior. For a purpose, why has God exalted Christ to his right hand to give repentance to Israel? Oh, men, Peter could say, change your mind concerning your Messiah whom you've hanged on a tree. Change your mind about him, for God wants to give repentance to you. And then he adds, to give repentance to Israel, and forgiveness of sin. We're witnesses of this. This is what it's all about. Repentance and forgiveness. And this repentance and forgiveness, it can't be earned. You can't earn it by religion. You can't earn it by culture. You can't earn it by education. You can't earn it by philosophy. It's a gift. It's given. It's given, friends. And my question to you, do you have it? Just as it was given to Israel of old, through the message of these men, it's given to you and me. And the question remains, do you have it? You see, it's the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. When understood aright, that can call forth the waters of repentance from our very heart. And he can call them forth out of the most stony heart. Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus is a great illustration of this. It's given. do you have it? Now I want you to notice the appeal of the apostles. The appeal. The early church had a principle, friends. Their principle was simple. Two words. Obey God. That's it. It's very simple. It isn't complex. Obey God. You see, the early church had a practice. Witness. Witness. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. And they took God at his word. Witness. You see, the church powerful is not when it produces preachers. That's not the church powerful. The church powerful is when it produces witnesses. Do we witness? Do we witness for God? That's the church powerful. Now these were apostles. They were at the top of the ladder, as it were, in relation to God. He gave first of all apostles. And they were important in giving us the New Testament. But what did they call themselves? Witnesses. Because that's what God told them to do. The church is not powerful when it produces preachers. The church is powerful, friends, when it produces witnesses. And this power is available to all who obey. You have it? You see, we can talk all day about the way to have revival. There's only one thing missing. Revival. Oh, that God will make us faithful witnesses to our Lord Jesus. Now let's stand together for the benediction. Our Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony that is ours to be a witness for thee, a witness to the one who loved us and who gave himself for us. We long for revival, O God. We long for thy blessing to be poured out upon thy people. Deliver us, we pray thee, from lethargy. Help us to know that power that raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, and to be a faithful witness to it. Now we commend to thee this company of thy people, and we commend them to the word of your grace, which is able to build them up and give them an inheritance among all that are sanctified through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.